As the River Nile meanders through the hottest city on the planet, life in Khartoum throws up a melting pot of images, where traditional cultures and practices carry on as they have done for centuries. It's a bustling city whose skyline is beginning to rise in stature and status, thanks to the arrival of five-star hotels swept in on a thriving economy driven by the country's oil wealth. Away from the tree-lined avenues and down the back streets, young men play football on the dusty pitches while their elders discuss the day's news as they go about their work. Their political opinions are as diverse as the 5 million population in the sprawling metropolis, where there is a voracious appetite for information, news and international politics.
You know, Sudanese people, they love politics.
It seems everyone here has an opinion on world events, and there is a fascination with this place in particular. Washington might be 6,500 miles from Khartoum, but they know only too well that decisions made in the White House today can impact on their lives tomorrow. Although back in the 90s, none could have imagined how this White House intern's antics in the Oval Office could change their lives so dramatically. And no one really knew just how far the world's most powerful man was prepared to go to save his presidency. Meanwhile, in Afghanistan, this man was about to be propelled onto the world stage, where he would play the role of the West's biggest bogeyman for the next two decades. But not even the most strategic White House planners could have foreseen where it would all lead. The Al-Shifa factory in Khartoum was a great source of pride, not only in Sudan but across Africa. Employing more than 300 people, it was state-of-the-art and produced life-saving medicines used by 60% of the Sudanese population as well as neighbouring countries. The quality medicines undercut the US pharmaceutical giants by 40%, providing the poor and infirm with hope and a lifeline. Killer diseases such as malaria and dysentery were kept at bay, and other medicines for veterinary use were also manufactured at the plant in northern Khartoum. So why would anyone in the world want to target Al-Shifa?
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Miss Lewinsky.
It seems incredulous that a sordid little affair in the West could have spawned carnage on such a wide and devastating scale, but two decades later, the facts remain unchanged. Clinton was a man under enormous pressure, and that pressure began building at the beginning of 98. It was the year in which he went from hero to zero. News of his affair with Monica Lewinsky first broke in the Drudge Report and became headlines in the Washington Post days later. It provoked the most dramatic statement ever to come from a president's lips.
Now, I have to go back to work on my State of the Union speech, and I worked on it till pretty late last night. But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
As the cheers and applause faded, his formidable wife Hillary stepped into the limelight to stand by her man.
The great story here is this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
But by the summer, Monica Lewinsky told all. And the headlines screamed for Clinton's resignation. Respite for him only came when terrorists killed hundreds in two US embassy bomb attacks in Tanzania and Kenya. They were immediately linked to Osama bin Laden, and that thrust him into Western public attention for the first time. The FBI placed him on its most wanted list. The diversion didn't last long, and 10 days later, Clinton was back in the firing line as he admitted to a grand jury on August 17 that he did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky. Headlines were brutal, unrelenting, and without mercy. The media frenzy only stopped when Clinton made this announcement.
Today, I ordered our armed forces to strike at terrorist-related facilities in Afghanistan and Sudan.
Within days, it emerged the intelligence was seriously flawed. Bin Laden was more than 100 miles away when the airstrike targeted camps in Afghanistan, and US cruise missiles heading for Sudan had destroyed a factory producing life-saving medicines. Political commentators as diverse as Noam Chomsky and journalist Christopher Hitchens accused Clinton of cynically attempting to distract media attention from his personal life. If that was his intention, it backfired and left an indelible stain on his presidency, according to former CIA intelligence officer Michael Scheuer.
His one big accomplishment, I think, is that he destroyed the concept of shame in the United States. You can do anything now and not be ashamed of it. He's a felon. He's a liar.
أدوية شرابات بأشكال الصيدلية المختلفة ينتج هذا المصنع كثير من الأدوية المعالجة للضغط معالجة للسكري معالجة للرطوبة أدوية ضد الملاريا أدوية بيطرية ضد الطفيليات الداخلية وطفيليات الدم. هذا المصنع ينتج أيضا من أدوية هامة جدا بالنسبة للسودان وأفريقيا ينتج دواء شفاء أمبسين وهو دواء مضاد للسل.
Why the Americans are claiming that we are producing these chemicals here?
Maybe they are misinformed. Their intelligence has not given the proper information, it seems.
As the sun set over Khartoum on the night of August the 20th, 1998, the workers at Al-Shifa clocked off for the day. Little could they have imagined it would be for the last time. 580 miles away on board a US warship in the Red Sea, Operation Infinite Reach was launched, and as the Tomahawk missiles raced through the night skies for their unsuspecting target, others headed for Afghanistan. US sailors were told it was payback time for the embassy bombings.
Critics would say it's because he is ineffective. Now he's done something, and critics still say it's because he's ineffective.
But we were, I think, as much surprised at the agency as anybody else was that they had decided to go after that target, because it had nothing to do with the attack on our embassies.
Even now, two decades on, it still seems extraordinary that one man would seek such desperate measures to divert attention from his private life to try and save his presidency.
Why do you think that Bill Clinton picked on Khartoum, picked on the Al-Shifa factory as a target?
You know, we are a very poor country, very weak country at that time. We are suffering from a civil war, and we have a critical problem in our economy, and we are so far from America, and nobody care about what happened in Sudan. Nobody care about Al-Shifa and the people who work in Al-Shifa, and their life is changed after this bombing. Nobody came from USA just to investigation about what happened in the Shifa. I think Sudan, it's a very good excuse to cover what happened to that president at that time. I mean, what happened with Monica Lewinsky. We are curious people here in Sudan. A lot of people go to Shifa just to see, maybe there is something underground, maybe there is a basement for that work, and there is nothing, just a collapse over the earth.
If you had to say something to President Clinton now, after the destruction of this factory, what are you going to say?
It's a total loss to the nation. Before attacking, it should have been evaluated whether really what action has been taken is right or wrong.
I've asked this before, but do you really think that the most powerful politician in the world would bomb a factory thousands of miles away from home to divert attention from his questionable affair with Monica Lewinsky?
Yes. You can read here, this is one of the headlines at that time. Monica Lewinsky is the reason.
So when Bill Clinton said, we have targeted a factory in Khartoum because it makes VX nerve gas for Al-Qaeda, how did you react to that?
We realized with no time this is just kind of war and he's lying. All Sudanese people, they just talk about this is just a kind of scandal and he just want to cover his scandal. At that time, all of us, the newspapers and reporters, we went there directly to the factory, to the destroyed factory. And there was a big demonstration led by the ruling party at that time. And we felt that this is the beginning of the war.
Today, the U.S. military struck back, hitting targets in Afghanistan and Sudan.
A much more serious act that the president committed than anything that we've generally talked about, and that was the illegal bombing of Sudan and Afghanistan. $200 million were spent for that without congressional approval. Not only is it annoying, I think it's illegal, I think it's unconstitutional, I think it's an act of war.
Ismail Kushkush, you're a journalist and you've spent many years researching the Al-Shifa bombing. Where were you on the night that it happened?
I was in California. I was a student at the University of California in Davis. I have relatives that don't live far from here, so the first thing I did was call my relatives, make sure that they were okay. They were okay. They were just shocked by the loud sound. It's not something normal that you would hear in Khartoum. This came at a time when Bill Clinton was facing problems with the Monica Lewinsky case. His political career was at stake. U.S. relations in Sudan were not good at the time, but this took it to a different level.
This has been called Khartoum's Ground Zero, but some Americans have been very quick to point out to me one person died here, 3,000 died in New York on 9/11. Of course, you can't say it's a ground zero.
I think the problem with that is that we don't know how many people have died here because of the destruction of Al-Shifa. Malaria is a major disease in Sudan, in Africa, in hot climate areas that kills thousands. Al-Shifa produced anti-malarial medicine for thousands of people, cheap medicine. The fact that this medicine that was produced by this factory at the time no longer exists, we can only assume that thousands have died because of that. In addition to that, it produced veterinarian medicine and vaccines, and the absence of those vaccines, we can assume that thousands of livelihoods have been destroyed because of that. The destruction of this factory definitely had an impact on Sudan and Sudanese life.
Stuart Griffiths, you're an award-winning photographer now, but you used to be a soldier in the British Army. You'll have seen some sights in your life. What do you make of this?
Well, I've never seen anything quite like this before. Yeah, it is a scene of crime. Something should be done. I think Bill Clinton should should go on record and apologise, especially in the sense of the background to the reasons why this happened in the first place.
I happened to be involved in the aftermath of the destruction of our two embassies in East Africa. And at the time that the attack was ordered, the intelligence was very compelling that there was matter in the dirt in the area around that facility that could only have been used for one thing, and that was the production of, I think, a nerve gas, if I remember correctly. As it turned out, it wasn't true, but it was the best information we had was that it looked very likely that it was true.
وانهي بالقوات الشعب المسلحة وخاصة الدفاع الجوي بأن يكون مستعد للرد على هذه الغارات الجوية الهادفة ونشيد بكل الجماهير التي أتت مبكرة منذ البارحة للوقوف على ما تعرض له هذا المصنع الكبير المصنع لأفريقيا وللعرب المحبين للسلام.
I lived near Shifa factory. And at that time, I heard the horrible sounds. It is horrible. All the children and even animals crying.
Do you think the Americans will ever apologize?
Maybe. But for me, America, if apologize or not, it doesn't matter for us. Our factory was destroyed. One of Sudanese was killed. Apologize for what? It will not give us what we have lost. Is it right? Nothing. We lost a lot of people, of Sudanese people. A lot of Sudanese patients. They killed a man. They destroyed a factory for medicines. And after that, you said if they apologize. A large number of Sudanese affected by this accident and by this attack for a Sudanese factory.
The attack took place on the 20th of August. And we must remember that on the 16th of August, the president came out on the Monica Lewinsky affair and admitted his wrongdoing. And it was an attempt to conceal and to hide something and to address the internal domestic constituency. So it was intended actually to divert attention from the Monica Lewinsky affair.
As you know, in a deposition in January, I was asked questions about my relationship with Monica Lewinsky.
So you're saying one of the most powerful politicians in the world used Al Shifa as a fatal distraction?
The problem was they never had the courage to admit that they were doing so. I remember we were doubly surprised that after the attack, we were ready to receive any investigation team to prove that the Al Shifa factory was not producing chemical gas. But they were not in a position to face the reality then. And they used their might and their power, and their veto power in particular, to block anything to carry out such an investigation. Well, the immediate effect was disastrous on the patient population generally, especially the children, because Al Shifa was producing some 40% or even more of antibiotics used by children. It also had a bad economic impact on Sudan because we are a poor country. This was one of the few industrial complexes which were achieved, and it was the pride of our pharmaceutical industry. It was shattered in one strike. It is a ground zero. It is a very strong indication of the faulty system that we have found ourselves in. And I think it should be kept as long as it symbolizes those principles.
Americans have always done this type of thing. You know, when they were losing war in Vietnam, they bombed Cambodia. When they were losing war in Iraq, they bombed Syria. They're losing war in Afghanistan, they're bombing Pakistan. Usually there's a diversion of some sort of political event. So when you have all these fantastic stories about Monica Lewinsky and many of other issues in the United States, it was a good diversion. I think, you know, Americans do these type of things. They can get away with it because they're a superpower, and superpower gets away with everything.
I didn't look at every square inch of the factory. However, I wasn't prevented from looking at any particular area. It's always a possibility that there could have been a deep underground lab which was accessed from outside the site. I wouldn't be aware of that. But certainly the actual factory, there was no sign of there being any area which was off limits. There was no area where there was any additional clean rooms or additional security. Very much the workers were just sitting around working on production lines, and then there was a lab where obviously they were creating whatever pharmaceuticals which they were producing. So all I can say is there wasn't anything that I saw that would have led you to think there was any ulterior motive to the factory being there. I wasn't in a position where I was searching the factory for chemical weapons, but there certainly was no sign of them. There certainly was no additional security over any other facility which I had visited at that time. And there certainly wasn't areas of the factory which I didn't have access to.
Now we produce 195 different products from the oil, and about 7 or 8 products from the grease here.
When you returned to Khartoum, did you go to the site of your factory?
I tell you frankly, until now I have never gone there. I couldn't go and see it.
Why is that?
Psychologically, because this is just like baby. Only from fire away, maybe 2 or 3 kilometers, I saw the fires after 7 or 10 days. But the later, even when I was completely finished with the fire, I couldn't go and see that. Until now, I did not step in. Why did they mean to bomb it?
But whatever Clinton's motives, the aftershocks would reverberate around the world for decades to come. In the next episode, we trace the rise of Osama bin Laden and the long-term legacy of al-Shifa on the world beyond Sudan, which led to the horrors of 9/11.